You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Now, I've been thinking a lot about recent shows. I've been thinking a lot about comments and thoughts that people have had. And I think that oftentimes when I do a lot of shows that are predicated on understanding a condition or a character trait or even a disease, even a mental dysfunction of some sort, oftentimes I might not come off as the most compassionate. And I kind of assume that everybody understood where I stand when it comes to compassion and when it comes to love, but I assume that that's not always the case, and I've realized that my assumption has caused some anger. And so tonight's show is devised to explain exactly how I feel about compassion and love, and compassion and love versus hate and anger, and how when we allow compassion in our life to take up all areas of our life, and we allow ourselves to love everybody in every situation, we understand the true reason for our life. And I want to begin with a little bit of my background so I can explain, so you can understand, I guess, better where I'm coming from. And I think it's interesting because when we understand background, right, when we understand past experiences, which is why and how we create our current perspective and our perception on what things are about, I found that often a lot of us have dealt with past issues. In our past, we dealt with all kinds of different problematic issues, people, situations. Perhaps even a lot of people in your past have done you wrong. Maybe some people left you high and dry. Maybe you were actually the victim and things were happening to you. And, you know, sometimes we were threatened or we were abandoned. There's a lot of things that happen in our past that can contribute to our current situation. Because I feel that everybody that comes into this planet, everybody that comes into this world, has dealt with past issues. I don't think that many people, if any, have come up unscathed. Everything was perfect. Life is amazing. It's the most amazing life ever. I think most, if not all, at least the majority of us, have gone through peaks and valleys. We've dealt with stress, post-traumatic stress syndrome, all kinds of different things that we've gone through that predicate who we are today. And the reason why I want to talk about this is that, you know, there's a lot of different levels in life, and there's a lot of things that we can do in life that can either make our life easier or more difficult. And I found that a lot of times in life, there's a lot of things around us that are there that at the time seem like a freedom or seem like something that we can take on. But at the same time, those can contribute to a difficult time of being able to find our true self. And I find that a lot of times, too, our past can really cloud our current judgment. Because, you know, our past can do several things. And the one thing that I really like our past to do, and in the best case scenario, is using that past information to logically, basically divert you out of problematic waters. And what I mean by that is that when we go through past situations and experiences, we want to try to learn as much as we can about those experiences so that we don't repeat them again. And, you know, I know that sometimes learning the hard way is the best way for some of us, and I have definitely incorporated that myself several times throughout my life. But what I like to try to do is see things happening and see things before they happen and fix it before it becomes a problem. And let me explain a situation here. The other day, somebody was asking me about how do I deal with issues in my life? And I said, you know, let me give you a clear example. You know, oftentimes many people wait for that train wreck, you know, like the train wreck where the train has come off the tracks, the train's on its side, right? Visualize the train's on its side. You know, you can make it a rainy night if you want to, and people trying to get out of the train. You see bodies flung around the train track, people with, you know, head concussions, blood bleeding from their head. You know what I'm saying? You can visualize this, right? You've seen movies where there's been a train wreck, okay? And oftentimes, well, almost all those times, that wreck could have been stopped if somebody could have gotten to the situation before. And so, for example, let's just say that it's a track issue. I'm one of those big believers that a lot of people wait till the wreck happens and then figures out how they can stop that wreck from ever happening again. My biggest belief is, hey, can we get to that train track before the train comes, fix whatever needs to get fixed, get out of the way whatever needs to get out of the way before the train gets there and there is no wreck? And I think the reason why I'm so keen on that analysis is that I've been through enough train wrecks in my life to see it. And I'm not a big fan of them. Nor do I like to see train wrecks of other people. And no, I'm not going to jump in and push my karma or my things on them if they're not asking for advice or help. But I don't like to see people fall down. I know that a lot of times in life, people build themselves up, you know, because other people are falling down and they look their nose down at them and they say, God, look at that person. What an idiot. And I just do not live my life that way. No matter what show I've done to help explain situations and, you know, diseases, disease is to other people and problem situations, I've always been compassionate. I'm not an angry person, but I do believe that the facts need to be offered to give people a tangible ability to understand the current situation that they're dealing with. And, you know, I understand I've gotten a little flack here and there from being so direct. And that's fine. Some people are going to like me being upfront and authentic and honest and truthful and direct, and other people aren't. So I can't please everybody all the time. It's just not going to happen. If I pleased everybody all the time, I wouldn't be honest. I wouldn't be telling the truth, and you probably wouldn't be arguing about me saying that because you wouldn't buy into anything I'm saying anyway, so you wouldn't even bother commenting, whether it's on YouTube or whatever outlet that you're commenting on. Because I find that oftentimes, we as humans, okay, a good example is, one of my interns came in the other day and said, you know, they have a tendency of falling into that people-pleasing scenario where they just want to tell people what they want to hear. And I said, really? And I said, well, I told you when we first started this internship, I don't want you to ever, ever, ever do that. And I said, and I'm going to prove it to you. When you see something that needs to be changed, or you have a better idea, or you think that I'm maybe missing something or haven't seen a totality of some sort of situation, I want you to tell me. And you're going to get a response from me that's going to help you continue to be this way with other relationships. Because I'm a big believer, if you want somebody to tell you the truth, no matter what, you need to appreciate it. And you need to accept it, and you can't get mad about it, okay? Can't take it personally. Especially when you're dealing with anybody, but especially when you're dealing with 16, 17-year-old children, kids, you just got to help them because they're new. It's new territory. And, you know, we all, to some degree, had that people-pleasing gene because we're human, because we want people to like us. I mean, just, I've talked about this before, the example when, you know, I was learning how to ride a bike. And, you know, I'd just gotten the training wheels off, and it was a big deal. It was a big deal, okay? It was a big deal. I got the training wheels off, and we lived on a street that had kind of had like a really tall kind of hill. We didn't have a mountain. It was a hill. And I remember coming back down it, and you kind of sped up. You got a lot of speed, so it kind of scared the crap out of me. But I remember going back up and going back down. And I remember a few days into this whole practicing, my parents were both outside watching me. It was one of the few times I can remember both my parents together hanging out outside and watching me do anything, really, for that matter. Not that they weren't good parents, just that they really weren't. My dad worked a lot. He was out of town. My mom, you know, was getting her master's or her doctorate or whatever. There's just a lot going on. And I was a good, I could fend for myself, you know? And, you know, as a good only child determines, I can fend for myself. I'm just fine, doggone it. But I remember we were all out there and it was pretty cool. And I decided I was going to show my parents no hands. The no hands situation where you pull your hands off, you know, off the bike and you put them over your head. And you go, look, mom, look, dad, no hands. And we returned to me talking about the no hands, how that all turned out. And the whole reason behind me discussing this, because it directly applies to compassion and love and what we're talking about versus hate and anger tonight. Stay tuned. Check out AshleyBridges.com. Check out Perspectives, Live Your True Life Perspectives on Facebook and comment on this show. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Right before the break, I was talking about the concept of, you know, the no hands. I had just learned how to ride my bike without training wheels, and it was the first time, or one of the very only times, both of my parents were outside watching me ride my bike. It was, you know, it was big time, okay? And I remember I wanted to show off a little bit. And like any good kid does, you raise your hands, you're pedaling, you got your hands on the bike, you know, you're not 10 and 2, but I guess you're basically like 9 and 3, right? You know, like when you're driving a car, it's 10 and 2, and when you're holding the bike, it's like 9 and 3. Anyway, okay, that might have been lost with some folks, but anyway, so I raise my hands over my head, and I go, look, mom, look, dad, no hands, look, guys, no hands, and I coasted by, and you know, when I got out of sight, I grabbed a hold of the handlebars as quick as possible. And I rode back and I was like, wasn't that cool? My mom turns around. She had her back turned the whole time. I think she might have been on the phone or something. And my dad was like pulling a weed out of the yard. Nobody even saw it. We are people pleasers. And that's what directly correlates with what I'm talking about is that when we don't. And this is what was interesting when I was talking to the intern, one of my interns, he said, you know, I people please, but I also, like, I don't want to tell them, I just want to accept whatever they're saying and let it go because I just don't like confrontation. But I said, you know, I think if we take it a step further, this could be quite interesting. And what I'm saying is that, I said, you know, have you thought about, you tell me the truth. I mean, I've asked for it. But do you tell other people the truth that you care about? And he goes, yes. And I said, even if it might hurt them? He said, yes. I said, maybe it's a concept of how much you care directly relates to if you tell somebody the truth. And for your predication, it seems like the more you care, the more determined you are to be honest with people. That directly relates to being honest and truthful. And you would rather go against people pleasing to make sure that they, you know, considerably do the right thing or that you actually help them out. And he goes, I totally agree with that. That's exactly why I do it. And think about it. There's different layers to why we do what we do. And one of the biggest reasons why I continue to produce these shows, I continue to be on air to help people figure out their situations because I care. And no matter how someone's defined in a current show. For example, if I'm talking about borderline personality disorder, if I'm talking about PTSD, whatever I'm talking about, even if you demonstrate symptoms and you considerably know that you are dealing with one of those situations, I am not at all putting you down. At all. I'm just trying to help other people in the situation that might not understand what's going on to finally understand. And I think that you can have compassion for people who are going through situations. We've all gone through situations. We've all dealt with our own issues. I've dealt with my issues. You deal with your issues. And as we overcome and we get more clear-headed and we get better and we work and we work and we work to understand why we do what we do, and even if it's a condition that has a definition, even if it's a condition that has a definition and you're working toward bettering yourself, that's everything. When we directly work to better ourselves, people cannot be angry in any way by you trying to better yourself and to try to find yourself. And that's what I'm trying to do with this show. And that's what I work on a daily basis, is to help people identify situations, identify the elephant in the room sometimes, put their fears to rest, and understand what they're currently involved in. And it's amazing when people have definitions, and I don't believe that everybody should be defined in a situation or a dis-ease or a defining title. I don't agree with that. I don't agree that that's always the way it should be, because I think sometimes we go with limiting titles, and those limiting titles get in the way of us getting better, of us doing what we need to do, and we kind of define ourselves when we get caught into this defining situation, and then if things change, we don't know how to deal with it. However, on the flip side, when we do have a definition for a situation we're going through, it can make it easier for us to understand what we're going through and that we're actually honestly going through something. Do you see what I mean? And the biggest thing is that even if somebody has a condition, let's say bipolar disorder, that's okay. And it's the steps that they take to try to better themselves, but also to how to understand their situation. And I find that when someone takes their life in their own hands and they say, hey, I'm going to step up to the plate, and even if this seems a little overwhelming to me, I'm going to do the best I can to, on a daily basis, make small baby steps to understand myself and to get better. That is revolutionary. That is absolutely amazing. Because, yes, even though it is uncomfortable, it's easier to be comfortable in the situation of not doing anything because it seems like your body is fighting it so much to do something. And I understand that. And so I congratulate everybody that's working, that's making strides to better themselves, to help maximize their life, to help find their purpose, to realize that there's more to them than just this body, to understand some sort of connection between earth and the spirit. And all these things are all really amazing, and they all go hand in hand. And when somebody's working to better their life, you can't look down at them. I mean, you have to respect them. And, you know, everybody's at the position that they need to be at right now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, oh, well, so-and-so's, you know, doing this and screwing up their life, and so-and-so's doing this and doing that. Is it true? Are they totally screwing up their life? Or are they going through a period of time that they are needing to have? You know, I think all of us have screwed up our life one time or another, whether it was for a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years, 10, 12, 15, 20 years. You know what I mean? Some of us got a doctorate degree in it. Think about it. But what did we take from those circumstances? What did we learn from those experiences? You know, I always find that very interesting, because when I have clients that come in and they talk about whatever they've done that they consider screwing up, being married 3 times, or, you know, doing drugs for a period of a year or 2 years, or dropping out of school and not knowing what to do. Okay, it's not the perfect scenario, but think about it. When was the last time that you accepted someone's comment or judgment or perspective that had never done anything wrong? When was the last time that you accepted their advice on your life when they've never experienced anything wrong? Cookie cutter life, always did the right thing. And do you even believe the fact that they do nothing wrong? I personally don't believe that anybody could go through life and never do anything wrong. And I'm not trying to judge people that claim that they're perfect. I just don't know what perfection is. I think we can work to be better human beings, and I think we can work to perfection. Again, I think perfection is a really kind of odd word, but I think that we can work to be the best person we can be. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't keep doing the same things over and over again that are not helping us and expecting different results. We realize truly that we got to be honest with ourselves and honest with other people, or it's not going to work out. We also realize that when we do things that might not be part of our value system, it can actually take us off target and can kind of internally hurt us. And what I mean by that is when we do things against our values, let's say, for example, if your values are that you're married and you believe in the sanctity of marriage, and you believe in that, stepping outside of the marriage in that situation could cause and pain for you. Not only pain physically, but also mental pain, you know, of feeling bad for what's happened. And I think oftentimes people don't realize that, you know, your values, the value system that you have set up, is directly reflective of you. When you go against those values, those are the ones you set up, not values that we've set up or I've set up or society set up. These are your values. When you go against the values that are implemented in your brain, in your head, hardwired to you, it hurts. And it causes you to be kind of at wit's end with yourself. You see what I'm saying? When we return to be talking about values, you know, choosing the right choices for you, gratitude and love. Check out AshleyBurgess.com and also tweet me at Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Right before the break, I was talking about that concept of living true to your values. What are your values? And I'm not talking about my values. I'm not talking about society's values. I'm not talking about your parents' values. I'm talking about your values. And when we live antithetical to our values, what happens? We get down. We get upset. We get mad. We want to kick our own butt because it's an internal war. Like I was saying earlier, if you are married and you believe and respect the sanctity of marriage and you are constantly stepping out of the marriage, that's going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem for me because I'm not going to judge you on what you do, and it's not my life. I mean, God bless you. I love you and everything, but, you know, it's not going to keep me up at night. But the problem is that it's going to keep you up at night. It's going to keep you up at night because you're doing something that's antithetical to your values. So what happens then? You beat yourself up. You feel bad about it. You feel awful. And you go through life just like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. And so you are completely internally judging yourself all the time, beating yourself down, having problems, causing issues in your life. And eventually you're going to have a breakdown, or eventually you're going to do something or use something or drink something to kind of, you know, basically dull that feeling. Because you either got to stop doing what's opposite of your values. You got to stop doing what is opposite of your values. Or what? Or you've got to numb it. You got to numb that pain. And I don't know about you, but the only ways I know how to numb that pain would be to keep on doing it, I guess. Second would be to keep on doing it and add some alcohol in it. Keep on doing it, add some drugs to it. Keep on doing it, add some pot to it. There's got to be something. And that's what I'm saying. Because otherwise, the only way that you can keep on doing it without beating yourself up is to change your inherent value system. Which that can be done. You can change your values. You can say, hey, I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. And I'm going to change the way that I feel about this. Now, it takes a lot more time. It's a lot easier to stop doing what's against your values than it is to change your values, but you can still do one or the other. And the reason why I bring that up is that, you know, I've been targeted a little bit lately because I'm not compassionate, apparently, and I don't care. I do care. And I am compassionate, and I do love everybody. And let me explain this, because this is what we're really getting down to, the nitty-gritty here. Is that I am compassionate with everybody, And I love everybody, not in a romantic way, and not in a I love you, I'm holding this over your head, there's strings attached way. No, it's unconditional love. So let's predicate this out. Unconditional love. And the reason why I have unconditional love for you and for all listeners and for myself is because I started with myself and I realized that love is outside of judgment. You cannot have love and the real love. Okay. I'm talking about real love here. I'm not talking about the BS level of love. I'm not talking about the crap that's all conditional. And if you do this for me, I'll love you. If you don't do this for me, then I hate your guts and I'll hold it over your head forever. No, this is the real love we're talking about. So forget the crazy other definitions that you might have and jump up to what I'm talking about. Okay. And some of you may have never, ever, 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 ever received this kind of love. And you don't give yourself this kind of love. So you think right now, by this point in time, you think I'm crazy. And that's fine. And eventually you'll come around and you'll realize what I'm talking about. And it'll hit you probably at 3 a.m. in the morning when you're deep in sleep. And you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh my God, who in the heck was doing that podcast? Oh yeah, that was Ashley Burgess talking about unconditional love. I thought she was crazy. And I've commented on YouTube about how crazy she is. But at the same point in time, guess what? She's right. Okay, this is what it is. I unconditionally love everybody. Every client, every person I meet, everybody. But there's a difference between love and respect and acceptance. Okay? Now let's talk about this because this needs to be figured out because a lot of people need to learn this to make their life a lot happier. Okay, love, when it is based on unconditional love, means that I place no conditions on you. I place no conditions on you. I have no contract with you. We're good. Now, I have this unconditional love for you as another spirit. As not a human being. Okay, I look at you in a higher level than that, right? Because I realize we're all spirits, we're all energy, and we are inhabiting a body. But you are not your body. Okay, so we got to get all this together first, and then you'll totally get what I'm talking about. You are not your body. And because you're not your body, this should mean a lot. So, if you go and get a tattoo, or you go get 150 piercings, I'm not going to stop loving you because you do that, okay? I might not respect your choice, okay? I might not respect your choice. However, just because I don't respect your choice doesn't mean that I don't love you. Okay, rewind. The difference between conditional and unconditional love is based on the fact that a conditional love is whatever you do, I give or take my love based on what you do. And if you do something bonehead that I don't think is good, I will remove my love from you. Whether that is I don't speak to you, I don't give you any sort of attention, I don't talk to you in a high way. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, I will pull myself away from you because you made a bonehead thing and made a bonehead move, and therefore, you're a moron, and I'm not going to give you any more love. Okay, that's not how this works. What I'm talking about is complete unconditional love, where I love you as a spirit. I love you for who you are inside your body. At the deepest level, at the highest level of you, okay? The highest level of you, I love. Because I can love you because I know at the highest level of you, away from anything you're doing, away from any substance abuse that you might be abusing, away from anything that you might be doing to lower your whatever it is, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at your highest self, and I love you for you. And I love you for everything. I'm not sitting there going, oh, God, I can't believe they did this. This is gone. I might not respect what you do. Okay, that's the difference. And because the thing is, too, is that do you have unconditional love for yourself? Because if you don't, that means that every time you do something that you wish you hadn't, you hate yourself and find self-loathing and you beat yourself up more for it. See, I'm able to love myself and sit there and go, you know what? Don't think I'm going to do that again. That was really messed up and that really kind of took me down. And you know what? It made me feel kind of bad and it's beneath me and I need to step up from this and make amends and forgive myself and move past this. Yes, that's what unconditional love is. And so when I do these shows and when I produce these shows, I'm not saying I don't love you because you're doing this or that. I'm saying, hey, I do love you and I do care about you, but you got to care about you too. And you got to care about other people because you can sit there and love yourself. I'm not talking about self-love in a narcissistic, crazy way as far as, oh, it's all about me. No, it's about the love for humanity. The reason why we're here on this planet in these bodies is to figure out what life's about. And I'm going to tell you a sweet, 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 sweet secret. And it's crazy that it's a secret because it should be on every billboard in the whole planet. The reason why we're here is to love one another and to love ourselves unconditionally. All animals, all plants, all birds, all trees, all people, all dogs, all cats, all snakes, all rats. You see what I'm saying? You're starting to get it, right? That's why we're here. From A to B. And then we're starting to realize how to really maximize our life and what we can do to help other people. I know. It's not that hard. However, a lot of times in our minds, because of media, because of advertising, because of all different things, we feel like we have to be somebody, look like somebody, have all this stuff, right? And we don't really focus on the fact that we are at the core a spirit that lives for eternity in a body. On planet Earth, experiencing life on planet Earth. That's what we're here for, right? But we're supposed to learn this love thing. I mean, at the end of people's lives, what do they talk about? They don't talk about cars and this and that and careers. And I mean, yes, it's nice to have a career and it's good to work. It's good to work. It's good to work and to respect what you do and to offer and to give back to society. That should be part of your mantra. Not, oh, everybody give to me and I'm not going to do anything. Okay? Because when you're in that mindset too, it becomes poor you, because you're not helping anybody. When I have clients that come into my office and say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm depressed, I'm angry, and all this stuff's happening to them, I said, I need you to do, you need to go through these mantras and we need to go through some therapy, but at the same time, I need you to volunteer. What organizations really inspire you and who do you have a connection with? And, you know, I've had some women come in here and say, you know, I would like to volunteer with battered women, or I would like to volunteer at the SPCA. And everybody comes back feeling better because you know why? It's not all about them anymore. Yes, the problems might still exist, but for a few hours, you got to spend time helping other people, getting your head out of your head. Okay. And actually giving back. That's what we're here for. Helping others makes us all feel better. Stay tuned. I'm going to be talking more about getting over being a victim from our past and how we can walk into a power position. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about compassion and love. We've been talking about not being the victim and walking into a power position. And I want to really address that right now because oftentimes we don't realize our power. We don't realize our power because a lot of times we don't want to recognize it, because if we actually recognize our power, then we might have to actually do something with it. Other times, we don't know we have it because we've never been told about it. We might sense it or feel it, or maybe we've been beaten down so much through our childhood we didn't know. We were raised to believe a certain way. We were a victim, and we just hoped and prayed that we could just get through life, right? Well, I'm here to tell you right now that there's more to life than getting through life. You have the power to do a lot of things. You have the power to move any mountain. You have the power to change the world. You have the power to begin with by changing your life. And you have power to love other people. And when we want to get over being a victim and walk into a power position, this begins with accepting ourselves. We must accept ourselves in order to understand our life. And what I mean by that, some people go, well, how the hell am I supposed to accept myself? You have to sit there and look at yourself and all flaws and everything you have and say, you know what? It's okay. And the way that you accept yourself is to begin to unconditionally love yourself. And the best way to begin to unconditionally love yourself is to love yourself, but state to make an oath. And that oath is that you'll be better than you were yesterday. Meaning, like I said, you'll be better than you were yesterday. And that means you will do things each day to better your situation, to better your life. And a good example for that might be, if you're doing things currently in your life and your lifestyle that are antithetical to your values, you've got to figure out how to slow that down and how to eventually stop it. You can't keep doing the same thing that's not working and expecting different results. What happens is that over a period of time, you lose your interest and you lose your power to change. And it's not like you ever lose your power. You just basically numb it so much that you don't even know it exists anymore. And I see that oftentimes when I'm dealing with clients of mine that are currently, going through drug addiction and then eventually into rehab, is at first, they never think that they can get off the drugs. And the drugs are very powerful. But we are more powerful than the drug. I recently had a client of mine get off of heroin and meth. He was doing them jointly together every single day. Every so many minutes a day. Okay? That's a lot. And he was able to overcome that. He's sober now. I've been sober for almost a year. He's in sober living. And he was telling me the other day in one of our meetings, he said, I can't believe that I've come this far. I didn't know that I had the power to do it. And, some background on him is that I didn't realize until about a year and a half ago when we had started trying to work together, but he kept falling back into the drug pattern. I didn't realize that the first time he did drugs was at the age of 15. So he's about 45 right now, and he has not been clean off drugs since he was 15. Do you know how much part of that life somebody's been doing drugs from 15 to 40, 44? Okay? And to finally find your internal power and your inner power right now, if he can do it, anybody can do it. Okay? So we worked about accepting him and understanding who he is and accepting his past, because one of the biggest things with drug addiction is that while you're on the drug, you don't care. You're not thinking about other people. I mean, not everybody, okay? Some people do have a major conscience and they feel really, really bad that they're on drugs, and they feel really down about themselves for doing it, and they hate that they could hurt other people. But a lot of times, people that have been doing drugs and a lot of drugs for a long period of time, they're incapable. They're not capable anymore of understanding what other people are going through, okay? It's not like they're deliberately trying to hurt people. I really just don't think that's the case. I think that they're just kind of lost. And so a lot of times when people are getting sober, The first thing is that memories start flooding in of things that they had suppressed and things that they didn't remember when they were under the influence. And some of those things can really be painful. They can be embarrassing. They can be painful. They can be saddening because it wasn't something that you knew that you were doing at the time because you were high. And I'm not accept, okay, and that's the difference between what I was talking about earlier. I do not respect their choices, but I still love them unconditionally as a spirit, as a human. Do you get what I'm saying? And so when we get past being a victim and we walk into our power, it means that we've accepted ourselves. We begin to unconditionally love ourselves. When we begin to unconditionally love ourselves, we're able to understand how we can unconditionally love other people. We might not always respect our decisions because some of our decisions are bonehead, including mine. Okay? However, we still unconditionally love. We begin to take that oath to be better than we were yesterday because we're actually being actively aggressive, positively aggressive to being better. Meaning if you're going against your values, you stop eventually. You might not be able to cut it all off right then and there, but let's say like you don't agree with drinking. You start slowing down your drinking to the point where it's almost null, and then eventually you quit. Or if you're dealing with having sex outside of marriage, you slow that down and eventually realize and quit and try to figure out how to regain your marriage, how to find what you want, and also maybe, you know, seek some help, you know, with some support groups and figure out why is it that you're going this direction and what can you do to better yourself to not have that internal battle. Also, we have to begin to realize that we actually have the power. Okay, you got when you finally realize that you're sitting on a throne, until you realize you think you're sitting on the toilet, right? You see what I'm saying? If you don't realize you have the power, you can't create what you need to create. So we have to begin to realize the power that we have as us. And realize that power, and that power begins first off with that unconditional love. And all this begins with the fact of realizing that we are inhabiting this body and these items and these goods and stuff that we have, our car and all that stuff, that's not you. And yes, you should be able to respect what you have. You should respect your car and you respect your house, that kind of thing. But that's not you, and your body's not you, and the tattoos that you have is not you. That might speak to who you are personally as far as what you care about, but still not you. And so you is that spirit that's embodying this body, right? And so think about it. When you are living this life, when you do what's right by you, the spirit in the body, you got to take that up a notch. Because you're a high commodity. You have a high value. Okay, or you wouldn't be here. So when we begin to realize that the choices that we make directly relates to how we treat ourselves, and that the more we put ourselves down or the more pain we put ourselves through, the more we're actually imprisoning ourselves. And when you realize that when you imprison yourself like that, you're imprisoning your spirit like that, then you realize that what you're doing is you're actually holding yourself hostage. You're holding your internal spirit hostage because of some worldly human need, whether that's the addiction to drugs or sex or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that everybody's just going to go, oh, I found my power, my life's perfect. No, this takes years and years and years and years. This takes a lifetime. But the coolest thing is that when you start adapting this into regular life, into day-to-day life, you begin to understand how great life can be. You also begin to understand what you will not do to yourself, and you also begin to have more respect for yourself. All these things directly correlate with unconditional love. As you keep continuing to grow this respect for yourself and this knowledge and this understanding and be able to accept and get better and better and be not better than they are, but been better than you are yesterday, that's when life starts progressing in the way that you see it and go, wow, this is pretty cool. So anyway, I hope this helps with people to see a little bit into how I directly feel about how compassion and unconditional love is needed on every step of the way with every single thing in the world, every single person, including yourself. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next, and Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.